Well, our gospel today talks about light and darkness. And in our world today, it's kind of hard for us to understand what the gospel of John is talking about, that as we compare and contrast light and darkness. And the simple reason for that is we live in a world that is pretty much devoid of darkness. We are surrounded by light all the time. Light is everywhere. Our houses are lit up all the time. Our streets at night when you go out, there are street lights up and down everywhere. If you've ever taken a look at what Earth looks like at night as seen from space, there are lights everywhere. If you've ever flown at night, you've seen the lights down below, all the artificial lights which we create to enlighten the dark. In fact, a couple of months ago when Karen and I went up to Door County for her birthday, we went to Newport State Beach at the very end of Door County, and we were surprised to see that is designated an international dark sky location, one of only 48 places in the world where it is still dark enough, there are no artificial lights, that you can see the night sky. In fact, there are probably, I would not even guess to understand what percentage of people today have never ever seen the Milky Way at night. They've never gone out and been somewhere where it's dark enough to truly see what the sky looks like. Our homes are bright even at night. We have night lights. We have lights on our refrigerators, on our microwaves, by our beds. There are lights everywhere. There are lights from outside that shine. We actually have to have drapes to keep the outside light from coming in. At the Bulgren's house, one upstairs bedroom has the neighbor's garage light shining in, and the other has the neighbor's, how many blue Christmas lights can you possibly have in front of your house that shine right in the bedroom? We've got a JYG, a junior youth group lock-in coming up in a couple of weeks. And one of the things the kids love to do at our lock-ins is they love to play hide-and-go-seek in the dark at church. Except our church isn't dark at night, because even when you turn off all the lights at church, there are still so many automatic lights that are on everywhere. And besides that, the kids, even though there are lights everywhere, they insist on playing hide-and-go-seek in the dark using the lights on their cell phones. Go figure, right? The concept of darkness is largely foreign to us. But for people who lived in the past, it was not. For those who lived in Jesus' time, darkness was overwhelming. Darkness was pervasive. Darkness surrounded them. Now again, it's hard for us today to imagine this, but think about the time before we had gas lights or electric lights, LED lights. Just imagine what it was like. In the past, night was dangerous and night was a foreboding time. When it got dark in the past, you did not go outside. You stayed inside. Why? Because outside were thieves lurking to rob you. Outside were creatures just waiting to gobble you up, and they can see at night and you can't. If you left your house, even if you had a torch, you were at the mercy of the darkness, because what if your torch blew out? Can you imagine what it was like in Jesus' time with all the lights we have? In Jesus' time, this was the light you had in your house. This is a little clay lamp I actually bought in Israel that was from the time of Jesus. This was your light at night in your home. A little lamp that was filled with some olive oil and had a little wick. It is hard for us to imagine. I actually have a book. It's a wonderful book called At Day's Close, Night in Times Past. It describes what life was like before gas and electric light. In Jesus' time, can you imagine sitting in your room, because you probably only had one room in your house, with this, and the light was so dim you could not even see the ceiling in the room where you were living? That's the kind of darkness that existed in the time of Jesus. And not only that, but there was darkness outside as well. My daughter Samantha loves to tell the story, she loves history, about a man back in the 1850s in Saukville who at night drove his carriage off the bridge and into the river simply because it was so dark he couldn't see where he was going. If you can imagine what that's like, what it was like to have this little light. Then you understand what's going on in our gospel today from John chapter 1, where this beautiful poetic beginning to John's gospel, where it talks about the power of darkness, but also the light that God sent in Jesus of Nazareth. This hymn starts by talking about the power of sin and darkness. But then he tells us of Jesus, the one who has come. And that is important not just because there was actual physical darkness in Jesus' time, but because there was spiritual, emotional, and cultural darkness as well. Now we today, we are so good at focusing on all the horrible, terrible things going on in our world, in our lives, even though we live in the calmest, safest, and most affluent time in the history of the world. But we still can worry and fret about all kinds of things, can't we? Some are real, but a lot of them are imagined. But we live in a virtual paradise of life and loveliness and light compared to the past. In the past, life was so often filled with despair. Why? Well, for one, poverty was rampant. We talk about the 1% today, those 1%ers today. Well, in Jesus' time, it was probably the 1/100th of the 1% who had everything, and everyone else lived in stark poverty. The world in which Jesus was born was a world filled with slavery. There were millions of slaves in the world. It was just taken for granted that people would be slaves. That's the way it always had been. In Jesus' time, you lived a hand-to-mouth existence if you were the typical person. You were either a day laborer or perhaps you were a tenant farmer. In Jesus' time, there was no such thing as Social Security, pensions, 401k retirement plans. Nope. In Jesus' time, you worked until you couldn't work anymore, and then you hoped someone would take care of you, or you just worked until you died. And speaking of dying, in Jesus' time, you died at a very early age. The average lifespan, we think, was between 30 to 35 years. Now, Jesus was probably about 30 when he began his ministry. I always thought about Jesus as this young man, but he was actually getting up to the upper ages of how the average person lived. And on top of that, half of all children died before the age of 5. Can you imagine that? The world in which Jesus was born was a world filled with the stain and darkness of warfare and oppression. The legions of Rome controlled most of the known world in Jesus' time. Freedom was a fleeting thing, and Jesus' own land had been occupied by the Romans for 60 years when he was born. Crime was rampant, and justice was swift, and justice was violent in Jesus' time. And our Constitution prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. The Romans loved cruel and unusual punishment. They used capital punishment as a civics lesson to make sure people didn't get out of control. We must always remember how our Lord Jesus died, nailed to a Roman cross. I remind our confirmation kids all the time. We have a word in English called excruciating. I have excruciating pain, the worst kind of pain you can imagine. The word excruciating comes from the Latin, which simply means from the cross. Because when the ancients wanted to think of the worst kind of pain you could experience, it was the pain of being nailed to a cross. That was the world in which Jesus lived. It was a world that had the luxuries we imagine, such as running water or flush toilets, simply not even thought of. It was a time of spiritual, emotional, and economic darkness. And into this world, God sent Jesus of Nazareth. Into this world, he sent the one who was declared to be his word, his light, and his life. How does the Gospel of John begin? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That opening sentence of John's Gospel tells us who Jesus is and was. He is God's divine voice, God's Word come into the world to show the world all about God's love and truth and joy. When Jesus spoke, he spoke with the authority of God. He wasn't just some ordinary preacher or teacher or miracle worker. He is and was unique and the ultimate expression of what unique means. John says he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. This seemingly ordinary guy, this carpenter's son from Nazareth, he is God's divine word. Remember how the Bible starts? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what does God do to bring about creation? God spoke. He uttered his word. Repeatedly, Jesus tells us, truly, truly, I say to you. He shares God's word when he speaks. John tells us that what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Into a world where so many people, just like today, so many people are just going through the motions of being alive, Jesus came to proclaim what life truly was. He was no ordinary person. He did amazing things. He had amazing powers. He loved and welcomed and accepted people in amazing ways that no one else had thought about. Later in the Gospels, when John the Baptist, now arrested, sends word to Jesus, are you really the one we're to wait for? Should we look for someone else? Here's how Jesus responded. You go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The deaf walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. He touched so many people during that short ministry of his. And on the last night of his life, as his disciples were fearful about what was going to happen, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. John's gospel tells us the life was the light of all people, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. But a lot of people did not like this light, this word, this life that came into the world. As John tells us, he came into what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. The leaders of his own time would have nothing to do with this Jesus of Nazareth. They sought everything they could do, and in the end, they killed him. And when they nailed him on the cross, and when he was buried in that tomb, they rejoiced, thinking they had won, and they had snuffed out that light. But the Bible reminds us that Jesus, God wasn't done with him yet. The word hadn't been silenced. That light had not ended. That life had not ended. That light had not been put out. Because on Easter, the amazing proclamation we have on Easter is that God's light, his truth, and his word will shine through the darkness of sin and darkness. The word from the empty tomb, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has been raised. That is the word that makes all the difference to us as Christians. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. It still is Christmas. This is the 12th day of Christmas. The rest of the world has put Christmas away, but we continue to celebrate because Christmas is something amazing. It is something wonderful. And in John's gospel, you don't find stories of Mary or Joseph. There are no shepherd, no wise men, no star, no manger. John's gospel has this declaration, and the word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is of a father's only son, full of grace and truth. I love the Greek word translated in English in our Bibles as lived among us, because the word truly, literally means he pitched his tent among us. Okay, those of you who camp, you know what it's like to share a tent with someone, right? Especially after 4, 5, 6 days. You get to know people real close, don't you? Up close and personal during that time. Well, that's what Jesus did. God's divine word became one of us. He pitched his tent with us in order to share life with us. He came to walk with us through the darkness, leading us, sometimes even pulling us out of darkness into life. Because let's face it, sometimes we kind of like sitting in the darkness. You heard the old phrase, it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness. Sometimes we're just very happy sitting in the darkness cursing because it's miserable, but at least it's comfortable, and we know what to expect. That's why I love the quote by C.S. Lewis, who talks about Jesus came to drag us kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God. This Jesus whose birth we celebrate, this Jesus whose death and resurrection we will celebrate in a few months, he is the one who came to bring us God's light and his life. And into a world filled with sin and darkness, whether that world was 2,000 years ago, or whether that world is 2020, Jesus comes to bring this light, this life, this word today. And let's face it, we still need it. Because there is still too much darkness in this world, and too much of it we create ourselves. Too many people today still wander around in spiritual darkness and blindness. Even those who think, oh, I don't need God, I can handle it myself. And in a world like ours where, you know what, most of our creature comforts are met, it is really easy to think, I don't need God, I can handle it all on my own. If we feel that way, we need to remember that we are still walking in spiritual darkness. Because Jesus did not come to meet our needs. He came to give us life and to give it abundantly. And there is a big difference between those. Jesus is God's word. Jesus is God's life. Jesus is the light of the world. And as John's gospel tells us at the end of this introduction, no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. So my friends, as 2020 begins, may Christ be made known in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives as we listen to his word, as we cherish the abundant life he brings to us, and as we bask in the light of the truth, which is Jesus. So on the 12th day of Christmas, a very Merry Christmas to you all. Happy New Year, and may this year be filled with the light of Jesus Christ. Amen.